If someone's able to do what has never been done before, climb to the top of a mountain or whatever it may be, have they achieved greatness? Do those acts make someone great? How do you measure that? I think God would say something like, true greatness is not measured by what you have achieved in life, but how you have lived that life. You and I measure in ways that God doesn't measure. We look at the outward. Remember, that's what God said when Samuel was to anoint David. And Samuel said, surely these older brothers, one of them, because they're big, they're strong. And God said, don't judge by the outward. I judge by the heart. David was just a young man. He's a kid fresh from his first battle. But he's already achieved what so few people ever achieve in life. David has achieved true greatness. True greatness. What does he think about it? I like that guy that's speaking. He's got that voice. That voice that can never slip up on anybody. I got friends that I hadn't seen in 20 years and talk to them on the phone and they know exactly who I am. They said, we could tell by your voice. I've got a voice that only a mother could love. David, a man after God's own heart. God said that about him. And we've called this true greatness, and this is the fifth, and I hope that we can finish today. The fifth segment. David walked properly in his daily walk, when somebody was watching or when they were not. He walked properly, successfully. He was one of those people that knew how to carry himself. He was accurate. He was careful. He was successful. Even in the face of promotion, when there was those that were cheering for him, he behaved himself well. He didn't let it go to his head. Even when he was having problems and Saul was throwing spears at him, or the Philistines were trying to attack him, he did well. Oftentimes, those problems of life throw us off course, and we can't recover from them, and we stagger. We lose sight of the possibilities. But none of these was David guilty of. Be very careful in your daily life, because there's people watching you. There's people that know where you go to church. There's people that know that you're a Christian. There's people that know who you are, and they're watching you. Some are waiting on you to mess up. Some want to see how you're going to handle certain situations. Be careful when you're on the way up. Be careful when you're on the way down. Because whatever goes up will come down. sooner or later. God was the one that lifted David. David had nothing to do with it. But David's heart was surrendered to God. And I believe on the hillside, watching those sheep, he made that abundantly clear to the Father. I believe the beginnings of Psalms 23 was formed on that hillside as the sheep were grazing. David had the thought, God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He was surrendered totally. Part of that surrender meant that he became a target. You and I need to make up our minds. What is the priority of our life? Do we want to go through peaceful and no ripples? Or do we want to surrender to God and make things of God the priority of our life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you, Jesus said. It seems like to me that that would be our priority. You're going to have to make your decision. What's going to be the priority of your life? Because if not, we're going to have trouble serving him and giving him everything. So I'm going to start on point three now. The perception of David's life. I mean, we've already covered the presentation of his life. We've looked at the priorities of his life. And now we're on point three. If you got an outline, it'll be the perception of David's life. If you will open to 1 Samuel chapter 18, I'm going to read verses 17 through 23, and you can follow along either on the screen or in your Bible. Saul said to David, King Saul said to David, here is my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the battles of the Lord. For Saul said to himself, I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do that. But David said to Saul, who am I? And what is my family or my clan in Israel that I should become the king's son-in-law? So when the time came for Merab, Saul's daughter, to be given to David, she was given in marriage to Adriel of Maholah. Now Saul's daughter, Michal, was in love with David. You know, this is good reading. It's got something for everybody in it. Merab was promised to David and given to this other dude because Saul's other daughter, Merab's sister, loved David. Wow. Such twists. And God makes sure that it's in his word. And when they told Saul about it, that Michal loved David, he was pleased. I will give her to him, he thought, so that she may be a snare to him. He's not doing David any favors, is he? so that she might be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So Saul said to David, "Now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law." Then Saul ordered his attendants, "Speak to David privately and say, 'Look, the king likes you, and his attendants all love you. Now become his son-in-law.'" When they repeated these words to David, but David said, "Do you think it's a small matter to become the king's son-in-law? I'm only a poor man and little known." Now, I don't think he was saying that tongue-in-cheek. That's how David felt about himself. I am nothing. David's greatness can be seen in how he was perceived by the people around him and by himself. Keep in mind at this point, David had done nothing wrong. He had been a model of humility, dependability, integrity. He had done all the right things in the right way. But everything was piling up against David. David didn't ask to be there. Saul asked him to be there. God appointed him, anointed him as the next king. And he's getting a crash course on the job of the king. And everything is piling up because there's those that are plotting against him, mainly King Saul. It seems like it's backfiring against his direction. God begins to pull one at a time the crutches from beneath David. He's saying to David, "It's time for you to stand on your own two feet, David." That time comes with God when it's fish or cut bait. It must have been a terrifying experience for the young man, because David was still a very young man, especially since he had done nothing to deserve the treatment that he was getting. By this time, spears on two occasions had been thrown at him. And there was those that were just against him. There was a private perception of David's life. In chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, verses 7 through 9, it says, "Their song was, 'Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s.' This made Saul very angry." "What is this?" he said. "They credit David with 10,000s and me."